You're listening to Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
News time now. Let's find out what's going on out in the world. Shelley is here with the news.
Mm-hmm. And coming up, weed sales starting when? I'll tell you about that. And a Super Bowl ad for how much? It's all brought to you by Pitbull Tobacco and More. The best selection and service in the 757 for locals by locals. You know, I miss 4 days and I come back and it's the same BS. Just another day. The new Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin was heckled yesterday. There is video of this going around today. So he's at a grocery store in Alexandria. He's there to discuss tax reform. Mm-hmm. He appeared without a mask to discuss tax reform. He was talking about his plan to eliminate the 1.5% Virginia grocery tax. So he held this round table at a grocery store, the Safeway in Alexandria. And a couple shoppers there were not digging that not wearing a mask thing.
Right.
First, a guy yells from the elevators, "Where's the mask?" And then he appeared to call Youngkin a putz, as the governor continued speaking. That according to Newsweek. Now, the other was caught on video. The governor's leaving the store at this point, walking through the cash registers area, getting rung up or whatever, and a woman yells out,
"Governor, where's your mask?"
We're all making choices today.
Yeah, so. Look around you, Governor. You're in Alexandria.
Yeah.
Breathe the room, buddy.
Now, the cashier who was assisting Youngkin was wearing a face mask. But
Almost everybody in that picture is wearing a face mask, except for the governor's crew.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that particular. He's having the week that Biden had last week, where they struck down all the stuff.
Yeah.
Because they just struck down his critical race theory executive order.
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting to hear, we think maybe today, on the mask mandate thing, right?
Yeah. And while he was there, he did get asked about those things, too. Reporters asked him specifically about that tip line.
Yeah.
And no, he will not be making the emails public. This was these were the emails that were sent to the governor's tip line to report divisive practices in schools. And it was helpeducation@governor.virginia.gov. Mm-hmm. Now, I repeat that email address because it's going to be important in this story. That's the tip line. They're being withheld as working papers and correspondence of the office of the governor. So according to 13 News Now, who submitted a request to see the emails, they found that the exemption cited is discretionary, meaning that Youngkin's office could release the emails, but they're choosing not to do that. Instead, they're opting to keep the messages secret while making evaluations on the teachings of race in Virginia schools. That's the way it's worded on WVEC.com, who added that the use of a governor's email address, the governor's office email address, is what makes the records denial possible, according to Virginia state code. So it's helpeducation@governor.virginia.gov.
Okay.
If a different state email address had been used, such as the Virginia Department of Education email address, for example, the messages could have been subject to release.
So they knew what they were doing when they set it up.
Yeah, essentially, I guess.
I think it's interesting, though, that TV13 jumps right to the critical race theory.
Yeah.
Because it does, the quote, tip line is not descriptive of that at all.
Well, not.
But everybody thinks that it's for this one particular purpose.
Not to back them, but that word. I think they're pivoting on that word divisive because it was a tip line for divisive practices, that was what was said repeatedly about critical race theory, divisive practice.
He ran on that. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, anyway.
I think they're sticking with that divisive word, and that's why it goes there.
But what they really want to see is TV13, I'm sure, wants to see where everybody wrote to talk about how great their school is.
Yes.
That was the subcurrent of this.
Or the thousands of messages that went out from that girl on TikTok who made the website that would send in
automated
lyrics.
Yeah.
Which apparently was everything from WAP to Moana and Frozen and everything between. So.
Hey, we don't talk about tip lines. No. We don't talk.
Yes.
The number one song.
Yeah, that's true. The number one song to be stuck in your head all day, every day.
Right.
Meanwhile, with politics in our state, we do have a bunch of bills in the Virginia General Assembly. You were talking about some of them. Some are meant to accelerate the recreational marijuana sales. If they pass, we could be selling weed in Virginia by this summer.
Well, then that means Eric needs to download a few more food apps.
He's
going to want more than just Taco Bell.
One of the subcommittees that were set up last year presented their findings this week, which inspired two bills to be discussed. One would make weed sales legal, July 1st. Happy birthday.
Hey, my birthday. You know, I might have to get some recreational marijuana if it happens on my birthday.
Now, are you going for a Girl Scout cookie variety, a Purple Kush? I don't know the different
name
brands anymore.
I don't know. I would have to have someone curate my adventure.
A bud tender.
Yes, that's what I need. Yeah.
Specific. Yeah. The other bill would make it legal come January, which is a year ahead of time. One of the Senate bills allows localities to opt out of legal sales if a majority of voters agree in a local ballot referendum. So, you know, leaving it up to the different cities and counties.
Right.
10 on Your Side reports that it further authorizes localities to restrict public possession and consumption in certain public spaces through ordinance. There's likely to be extensive debate on the topic as there's legislation in the House that would require localities to opt in to legal sales instead. So this, again, is just in the beginning, but July 1st, we could be selling weed in Virginia.
Not bad.
Nope.
Not bad.
Now, elsewhere today, we've now heard from the Spotify CEO, Daniel Ek, who defended his company's handling of the whole Joe Rogan situation.
Oh, this thing is going backwards so quick. It's amazing.
The CEO downplayed the impact of artists like Neil Young and Joni Mitchell removing their music from the streaming service. Though it did come during the rough earnings report this week. His quote was, "I think the important part here is that we don't change our policies based on one creator, nor do we change it based on any media cycle or calls from anyone else. Our policies have been carefully written with the input from numbers of internal and external experts in this space, and I do believe they're right for our platform. And while Joe has a massive audience, he's actually the number one podcast in more than 90 markets. He also has to abide by these policies."
Yeah, and then he went on to detail why they lost so much money.
Yeah, he said it was too early to gauge how it might affect the company's revenues, which are already down 20% from last year.
You hear that? 20% off.
Yeah.
You have to answer. This is a publicly traded company, and this is the thing when you don't run your own future, because you've got to answer to shareholders now about these decisions you've made and why we're short 20%.
Yeah.
In a captive world,
when
people are listening online all the time.
Yeah.
How did you lose 20%?
You lose my money?
Yes.
Well,
the earnings call came just days after Spotify imposed a new content advisory warnings about COVID.
Right.
And misinformation put out by Joe Rogan is the word that he uses in this sentence. But I saw Joe on Instagram put up a story where he talked about this and said, you know, hey, we're going to put a content warning at the beginning of episodes where I talk about COVID stuff. And
yeah.
I'm going to do my best to reach out to the other side and get all the different opinions.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They yanked his chain.
Yeah.
Because, again, 20%. Nobody cares. When their money is getting flushed, nobody cares about your ethics.
Yeah.
They want their money.
That's true.
That's it's like the mafia. 20% is a lot of money.
That is. I mean, 20%.
It's not quite the money that Facebook lost yesterday, but it's a lot of money.
That's true. Well, I mean, our governor's talking about 1.5% tax, you know, the grocery tax. That was another number in money that came up, and here's 20%.
That's a lot. If you open your 401k tomorrow and it was down 20%, you would poop yourself.
You'd be very sad.
Yes, I would be very sad. Very sad.
Meanwhile, though, Jon Stewart thinks artists removing their music from Spotify because of Joe Rogan is a bit of an overreaction and a bit of a mistake.
Don't leave, don't abandon, don't censor, engage. I'm not saying it's always going to work out fruitfully, but I'm always of the mindset that engagement, and especially with someone like a Joe Rogan, who is not, in my mind, an ideologue in any way. And here's the other thing. You're a musician. Like, how much misinformation is spread by, like, Eric Clapton is on platforms that you're on, and he's psycho. So do you remove yourself from every platform? There's no question that there is egregious misinformation that's purposeful and hateful and all those other things. And that being moderated is a credit to the platforms that run them. But this overreaction to Rogan, I think, is a mistake.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? People are free to do what they would like to do.
Absolutely.
The marketplace, the market sets it. The big hashtag was people were quitting Spotify. Not musicians, just people. People that disagreed with this or that position. That's what the world's about. You know what? The people have quit our radio show. They didn't like something that they heard. Oh, well, that's the way it is. Nobody's a hostage.
Yeah.
You go where you go, man. That's the way it works. Yeah. Hey, speaking of losses, Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I've got that story.
Do you have it?
I do, yeah. I mean, you can go.
No, that's right.
They revealed that they lost daily users for the first time in their 18-year history. The service was down about 500,000 users over the last 3 months of 2021, bringing the total to about 1.93 billion daily logins.
Now, they set the Wall Street record yesterday for the biggest single one-day loss of money in American history.
Yeah, at the same time, it invested more than $10 billion in its ambitious plan to transform Meta, and shares fell more than 26%.
They lost 26% of their value yesterday.
$230
billion. Yes, $230 billion in one day.
Yeah.
Think about that. These are phenomenal numbers. It's like, holy crap. That's a bad day.
Yeah, it is.
That's a tough day, Meta.
Yeah.
We made all these changes and spent all this money and did all this stuff and reported our first loss in the fourth quarter, like in forever. And set the record. Hey, way to go, man.
Well, you know, there you go.
Technology. Where'd everybody go? You know what they did? They turned off everything electronic and went outside. Bye-bye.
Tired of being inside. Please get me out of this house.
Gonna go for a ride.
Stuck in this house for so many days.
Yeah.
Get me out. Well, it does come as on this date in 2004, Harvard student Mark Zuckerberg launched the Facebook as a website that can connect people around the university. They expanded to other schools, and in June 2004, they dropped the from its name. It was September 26, 2006, when they finally opened it to everyone 13 and older. So this is the beginning of Facebook today in 2004.
No mention of the, what is it, Winklevoss twins? The guys he had to pay off?
Oh, yeah.
Who say that he kind of stole it from him? Facebook?
Yeah, no, we're just going to
skip to Facebook.
Yeah, right?
Nice.
7 a.m. our time today. The opening ceremonies begin with some sports starting already today. It is the Olympics.
Yes, the Olympics.
The Associated Press says the team competition in Olympic figure skating is a sport of first. Russia's the favorite there, but there's a new player in the mix, and that would be Japan. Hopes are also high that Team USA could climb at least one step after taking the bronze at the 2014 and the 2018 games. Americans are led by medal favorite Nathan Chen and two of the strongest ice dancing teams in Beijing.
Sean and I.
Yes.
We're quite an ice dancing team.
You're darn right. I'm amazed he lifts me like that.
It's beautiful.
We do our routine to Footloose.
That's right. There's usually only a few casualties.
And this will tie everything together. According to a new study, Super Bowl commercials are just as important as the game to viewers. About two-thirds of people watching the game are at least interested in the commercials. And this year, the ads cost so much. NBC said it finally sold out all the advertising spots for the Super Bowl, with some ads reaching $7 million for 30 seconds. That's a new record.
Yikes. Really?
Yeah.
So that's where... We've talked about incredible sums of money in this particular newscast. It's like, wow.
None of it in my pocket.
I was just going to say, where the hell is it?
Yeah, right?
Where did all, it just dissolves. It's just gone.
Yeah. There's
something wrong. Yeah.
$7 million bucks. Nice.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds. Yeah. In fact, the commercials are so important that we learned yesterday that if you go online, you can go to YouTube and see some of this stuff, that they have put out commercial teasers. Little segments of the commercials or teasers for the commercials, but not the commercials themselves.
I like that better because in previous years they have been releasing the commercials themselves
ahead of time.
Yeah, and it's like that Black Friday a week ahead of time or whatever. You know, it kind of annoys me. It's like make it special, make it
exactly
during the game.
Yeah, it's like playing Christmas music on November 1st. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Stop.
There's some truth to that.
Pumpkin spice in August. We don't need it.
I watched the teaser for Uber Eats yesterday, and it showed Gwyneth Paltrow actually eating her vagina candy.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, she goes, it tastes funny or different. She goes, not bad, just
like
different.
Like Caesar salad.
Yeah.
That's the Ian Bagg joke. Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
Around here today, we got rain moving in, a high in the low to mid 60s, breezy, a south wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusts as high as 30, which I'm sure we're feeling now. I was feeling them as I was driving in. Rain likely tonight, 32 will be the low. Yeah, it's dropping a lot today. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy through the morning, clearing up as the day goes on. A high in the mid to upper 30s. By Sunday, we have sunny skies and a high around 40. Right now, we're at 65 degrees. And I am Shelley for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Nice.